my son-in-law. He just because now he's my son-in-law, he can yell at me. He beats me. I knocked the microphone here, and he said during the break, he said, "Don't touch it." So anyway, apparently I did something to it. But you're listening to the Hagmann Report. Sometimes it's just great to kind of have a casual conversation about current events without a lot of hype and without a lot of pressure. And this is what we're doing. Our guest is Tracy Beans. She's very popular on she's got a very popular YouTube channel, and check it out, Tracy Beans, as well as her Twitter page, her social networking page, Facebook, and she works with other she plays nice with others, actually. She's as far as I'm concerned, she's a tremendous citizen researcher and citizen journalist, independent journalist. And I think we you know what, Tracy, we all have to stick together, don't we, when we're doing this?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And I got to tell you, we're not making a lot of friends out there. I could tell you that.
No.
have you been subjected to the censorship of the social networking platform or anything like that you can talk about?
Yeah, YouTube, absolutely. I have videos that they just, I'm demonetized by default.
Right.
And sometimes people think that when we complain about being demonetized, it's all because of the funds that are coming in from our videos. No, that's really not why it's a big deal. It's a big deal because when you're demonetized, YouTube makes no money off of you either.
Right.
Which means that you're pushed to the bottom of every different search algorithm they have. So the fact that videos are demonetized or limited to no ads causes you to drop significantly in your reach. They go through spurts. This is my honest opinion. They go through spurts where they'll blanket demonetize you, and then you'll request a manual review on your video, and they'll look at it, and they'll say, okay, yes, or okay, no. And in the beginning of these spurts, they're very, 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 very strict. As time goes on, they loosen up a bit until they have one of those incidents where the left goes crazy and the social justice warriors are screaming about PewDiePie. Then all of a sudden the hammer comes down again. They're starting to loosen up a little bit now. So my Bellagio video maintained its monetization. I think that's massive.
Wow.
Good step. Yeah. Yep.
Very interesting. I've noticed that, you know, beyond that monetization, although, believe me, it's not a, no one's getting rich off, well, at least not any of us are getting rich off the money. And it's not the issue, as you said, it's not the money issue as much as it is the Orwellian kind of control being exerted over this, over us. And that's just so bizarre to me, especially today. And people will say, well, you know what, this is a private corporation, but at some point, you know, it's like saying, well, your electric company, it's a, utility, you've got to understand what's really happening, but nonetheless, I digress. Before the break, we were talking about, well, what were we talking about, Joe? Help me out here before the break, or Tracy, we're talking about,
we were talking about a number of things from the, basically about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And
have we
uranium
finished?
One.
And uranium one.
That's right. And the corruption within the, do you think right now, and this is about Hillary Clinton and about the latest revelations, of course, with respect to uranium one, do you think that now with Senator Grassley, who's pushing, seems to be pushing for some sort of independent investigation, do you think there's any chance of any justice being meted out with respect to the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and Comey, Mueller and company?
Two things. I feel like Jeff Sessions, you know, I've given him a lot of rope. I feel like it's time for him to really start asserting himself in terms of some of these issues that we're seeing. Otherwise, it's just another Obama administration where nothing is accomplished from the Justice Department. In terms of these big issues like this. And I think that the fact that you're seeing, you know, the rebel sort of Sean Hannity now is coming out and really pushing this stuff, Tucker Carlson really pushing this stuff. You know, people are like, there were like 80,000 views on Jeff Sessions' hearing the other day. There were 76,000 views today, which the hearing was yesterday, I believe. People are paying attention, so I don't feel like it's going anywhere. And we have, thank goodness for WikiLeaks, we have all of these resources at our fingertips that people can use to look through and find information about this stuff from the own mouths. So I don't think it's going anywhere, and I'm not going to let it go anywhere anyway. So
good. And that kind of overlaps into the DNC. You mentioned WikiLeaks, and of course, that brings to mind the DNC hack versus leak, and it was more of a leak, and that overlaps into the Seth Rich murder, whether or not, you know. And again, this is kind of like a daisy chain of events going back. Any thoughts? Let's just run the field here. Any thoughts on the Seth Rich homicide and
absolutely. Yeah, I've done a lot of research into Seth Rich. I've worked with some really amazing people on both the DNC leaks and the Seth Rich investigation. I need to mention Adam Carter from G2 Space, who basically was the first person to kind of delve into the forensics behind Guccifer 2, the supposed Russian hacker that they were hanging their whole Russia conspiracy theory on. He basically proved that Guccifer 2 isn't a real person. He was inside of the DNC. And then Vips actually picked up his and the forensicator's reporting along with Elizabeth Lee Voss from Disobedient Media and ran with that. And Vips sent out, you know, information to the president, a letter to the president explaining all of this. And that's where CrowdStrike comes in. And, you know, they're trying to pin the leaks of Podesta's emails and the DNC on Guccifer 2, when in actuality there's a very, very good possibility that those leaks were by Seth Rich. Seth Rich, as we know, was sadly slain in Washington, D.C., shot in the back in a botched robbery where they didn't steal anything. It's you know, the Seth Rich story is very deep. I worked a lot with Matt Couch and Hannibal Moot and those guys on Seth Rich. They have some amazing information. They're kind of the authority on that investigation right now. And there recently been FOIA requests that have been granted on information in regards to Seth Rich's death. And Judicial Watch actually has thrown their hat into the ring in regards to information about what happened that night, and, you know, stuff the government's going to have to fork over now that they've said didn't exist or they've held on to or denied. You know, there's a lot of speculation about Aaron Rich actually also being compensated for providing information to WikiLeaks. A lot of circulation around Rod Wheeler. I mean, that whole story is unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's a very apt term for that. Nothing is what it seems to be, I think, in that particular case. And that overlaps into, of course, the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and then that brings up the Pakistani brothers Awan. You know, the infiltration in the Congress. And I mean, that by itself, I mean, we could do days and days of programming on the Awan infiltration. Any thoughts on any of that?
What's interesting is part of what I do is I really feel very strongly about integrity of information. It's so important when you don't know what to believe that you have outlets like you know, you at the Hageman Report and other independent journalists that you can actually trust to even tell you when something is not legitimate. Like, that's not correct. For a period, there was a time, there were people that were trying to kind of link the Awan brothers into the Seth Rich murder. Mm-hmm. I was never able to find anything that held that connection up. And the reason why they were doing that is because they were trying to say that the Awans were somehow involved in giving this information to WikiLeaks, based off their access to the network. That entire, forget the money laundering, forget the bank fraud, forget the fact that he got, you know, those mortgages from the Congressional Bank fraudulently, forget the fact that they defrauded the American taxpayer, what, $1.6 million over 4 years for ghost jobs that they never did. Luke Roziak deserves kudos.
Right.
You know, forget the fact that all of those things happened. We have an IT staffer who they know is doing nefarious things, that they revoke his access. And then we have a congressperson who's just had to stand DNC in disgrace, keeping this individual on, defending him, almost as though he's got bribe, he's got, you know, material on everybody in Congress. They, Judicial Watch, I don't know if you guys know that Judicial Watch just had a hearing on this with, yep, with some members of the Senate. So she threatened the police chief down there. When does it end? Like,
exactly.
When does it end? I mean, she literally threatened him in public on a recording.
That was during the appropriations meeting, and that was in reference to the laptop and other documents that were found in the cubbyhole at the Rayburn office building. It was a phone area, those old phone booths up there. And of course that was her laptop. But you know what, Tracy, and I'm going to say this to the listeners as well and viewers, I don't believe Imran or Alex Awan placed that laptop there himself. I believe it was someone else on his behalf. And of course, you know, the purpose there was they wanted that laptop to be found. And I think that in and of itself was a message being sent. It had a dual purpose.
And the connection to Seth Rich, there was one photograph I saw with one of the Awan brothers with Seth Rich at a bar, allegedly the same bar.
Yep. I debunked that photo. Actually.
Oh, okay.
I was the one who did that.
Yeah.
No, only because this is so easy to, so easy to not, you know, to make a mistake like that. It somebody says, oh, look, that's Imran Awan or one of the Awan brothers. That photo was actually taken several months before,
right,
at a wedding in another state. It existed on the internet before the night of the murder.
So, okay, and it had nothing to do with the bar or the location. Yeah,
no.
I gotcha. All right. And that's what we have to be careful about, too. Just what we can authenticate is bad enough. We don't have to, you know, go stretching out beyond the bounds of what we can prove or what we can at least, well, authenticate in this case. Wow. It's just been...
It's really hard. There's so much...
I think we're losing you.
Misinformation out there. Well,
hey Tracy, I don't know if you can hear me, but the last two sentences were very garbled. I don't know if we lost the connection or not. Eric, just give me a thumbs up when
do we have you, Tracy, or? Yeah, we're going to reconnect with Tracy Beans. Very interesting.
I saw that photo a few months back and didn't pay much attention to it and didn't follow up on it, but I think that's pretty interesting that...
I saw her report or reference to it, and I can't remember what venue I saw, whether it was on her Twitter account, Facebook, or YouTube. I'm not sure, but I... the things have been happening so fast. I meant to tell you that I was, because we had talked about that photo before, and then that came out to be that's really irrelevant. And we're working to get Tracy Beans back. So, very interesting conversation.
Question for you.
Yes.
I'm reading an article on CNBC. IRS to block suspended tax returns that lack Obamacare disclosures. I thought Trump took away the penalty from the IRS and the tax.
I have seen contrary. In fact, I actually, Jim, I placed a call to my accountant just because I wanted to find out what he knew about this. And frankly, I've not received any information back, and I don't know. I don't know what the status is.
Well, what the IRS is reporting, the Internal Revenue Service in a new policy says it will block or suspend processing of 2017 income tax returns that do not comply with the Obamacare rules requiring filers to disclose their health insurance status. The article also says that the IRS move, which will bolster compliance with the Affordable Health Care Act rules, comes as the Trump administration takes other steps to undercut the law. But as of now, the IRS says taxpayers must remain obligated to follow the law and pay what they may owe at the point of filing as per their 2017 tax returns and their health insurance status. So it doesn't look like, there will be any relief from the mandate.
Check with your accountant on
that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the IRS is stating that they will not accept any electronically filed returns until the health insurance information is answered on their forms.
Interesting. We have Tracy Beans back with us. I hope. Tracy, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
No worries. You know, sometimes, I mean, it's like this happens to us all the time. Not all the time, but we get talking about specific subjects or with certain guests, and we have all kinds of audio problems. So it's no surprise. We just covered a whole lot of ground. We haven't covered the Hollywood blowout there. The things that we've known. And you've covered a lot on the Pedogate issue, and you've done so much, and we've known about this. You want to go there? Let's talk about this for a little bit, because that's really, to me, this is pretty important.
Absolutely, it is. And I just want to, before we go on, thank you guys so much for having me on your show. I love you guys. I'm so honored to have spent this time with you tonight. You don't even understand how much it means to me. Thank you so much.
Oh, it means a lot to us too, because, and again, we've got to stick together. Folks, Tracy Beans, follow her on Twitter, on her social networking, all across social networking, and be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, because we do have to stick together. The people who are seeking the truth out there, the truth warriors, must stick together, or else we're not going to be as effective, or we're going to hang separately anyway if we don't. So it's our pleasure, Tracy, it really is.
Thank you.
So and we follow your work as well, and so it's just fabulous. You've exposed, along with the emails release of the Podesta emails, came the Pedogate, Pizzagate, and of course that's just nothing but a big woo-hoo conspiracy theory, according to the, there's nothing to that. But I think we've proved that differently. And now, of course, Hollywood is unraveling, and stuff we've known for a long time is coming out and being proven. So, what's going on there, do you think?
I'm not sure what prompted them to finally allow this to come out, if it were a distraction from what was going on in Las Vegas, or if it were a distraction from something else that was set to release. But they let the cat out of the bag. Who knows why? Did they give an olive? Like, did they kind of make a deal? I don't know. It's really an interesting dichotomy, because we know that pedophilia is rampant in Hollywood. We know we've had victims come forward and speak out about their experiences when they were children in the industry. We can look at Disney, we can look at Nickelodeon and Dan Schneider and the conversations that have gone on around him. And we have people that have come out, Elijah Wood, who retracted, and then Corey Feldman, who was basically victim-shamed by Barbara Walters when he came out with his story. Who's now saying that he's, this has been going on for a really long time. Somebody listen to me. Kaia Jones is coming out and saying things that she, has been saying for years. I have so much respect for the people that have been attempting to shine the light on this horrific topic for so long and who have been ignored and still kept going. A lot more so than I have for the folks that have jumped on this sort of bandwagon almost of, you know, it's the in thing to do.
Right.
Little to no care about what they were doing before this was all popular. You know, you can't coalesce with all of this and not be, it's so hard to say what I'm trying to say. I think you get what I'm trying to say, Joe, that, you know.
Yeah, no, I do, but I want to ask you this. Why do, when we see the, why do, you know, the Corey and the other, why don't they name their accusers?
I think it's fear, to be honest with you. I think it's fear. I mean, would, you're saying it happened, I would be petrified to name somebody who's very, very powerful who did something like that, knowing, which I'm sure he does, the back end of that power structure that we know about in the community that the general public doesn't know about, and how far up it goes into the military, into the church, into, you know, media, government, everywhere. Unfortunate car accidents, people, you know, shoot themselves in the back of the head. you know, like, it's fear.
I guess. Just in my mind, I guess, if you are going to take it as far as to say that it happened and to say that, it, you know, the most powerful people in Hollywood, I don't see the problem with taking the next step unless there was some kind of agreement or settlement or I don't know. I can't put myself in the shoes of somebody in that position, but I just imagine if you take it that far,
but there's victim shaming going on too. And as Tracy had mentioned, that Barbara Walters, you know, hey, you're indicting a whole industry, you know, and basically saying, yeah, that's right. I can see where this, you know, where this is, I don't know. Yeah.
This isn't just Harvey Weinstein, you know, sexually assaulted some women. This is MK Ultra. This is, you know, all kinds of years and years and years and years and years of programming of satanic ritual abuse, of all the things that we looked into. But I will say, without getting into too much detail on the topic, which B does a wonderful, amazing service to humanity with the work that she does. I will say that there have been recently on Twitter a few left-leaning or leftist celebrities who have, and I wish I had this print screened, they've actually come out and said, guys, does Pizzagate seem so outside of the realm of possibility now? Like, they're even saying, oh my gosh, were those people actually right, you know, about this whole pedophile conspiracy that they've been talking about? I started reporting on this right before the election. Actually, on election day, we had a series of hashtags that we used to try and get the word out, and it kind of took off from there. It's a really hard topic to cover. It's really hard. You have to really shut yourself off do the research into this, mm-hmm. and it's just...
And it's very difficult to talk about in polite company. No one really wants to. It's just a very difficult subject to talk about, but it's so important nonetheless. And you've got the satanic, whether people believe it or not, you got the satanic element involved in this as well. You can't deny that with Marina Abramović. In my view, I have to say that, you know, of course, in my opinion, but in the powerful people like Podesta and such, and say what you will, maybe it's just bad taste in art, but I think something a little bit more is happening there.
I'd agree with you. I think that we're taking steps forward, though. Laura Ingraham covered pedophilia in Hollywood on her show today. It's becoming more and more mainstream. It's really uncomfortable to talk about, but, you know, regardless of whether or not you believe in the practices that they're allegedly, you know, going through, they believe in these things. So I always tell people, like, it doesn't matter if you believe in the purple smurf, if they believe in the purple smurf. And so, you know what I'm saying?
There it is. You're absolutely correct. And I want to thank you for saying that, because that's really what we've been saying. It doesn't matter what we believe or what you believe. It matters what they believe, because their belief is the driver of their actions. And that goes to motive and explains their actions. We've got about a minute left before the bottom of the hour network break. I just want to say thank you so much. Extend our thanks to you for being a sport to even extend your time with us in an extra segment. We really appreciate you. We appreciate what you do, and we would urge everyone to follow you on social networking, Tracy Beanz. That's Beanz. We'll have this video segmented out tomorrow out of our show in standalone video, so you can spread Tracy among your followers. But we urge everyone to subscribe, follow your work, and to support your work as well. And we thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. Bye.
We're a fan of your work. God bless you. Thank you. And you take care. Stay safe out there. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report. We're going to be right back after this network break. Stay with us.
Still got a half hour of news.
More on the other side. Yeah. Yeah, more on the other side.
And we're going to give you the latest of this despicable Congresswoman, Representative Frederica Wilson. You're not going to believe what she just said after John Kelly's heartfelt comments at the White House talking about his experience being a Gold Star parent. You're not going to believe what this Congresswoman just said. We will be right back after this network break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this Thursday edition of the Hagmann Report.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagmann Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Hermes kit. It contains 12 homeopathic Hermes, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Hermes Kit at www.trainchosenwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagmann and Hagmann Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagmann for making this all possible. God bless.
this edition of the Hagman Report. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for your belief and your trust in us. Please tell other people about this program, and we've been lax in reminding people to subscribe. Click that subscribe button on the YouTube channel, as well as BTR. Subscribe to our BTR feed, and that goes for my show in the morning from 9 to 10 and Joe's and John's show from 2 to 3. Don't forget, we're also on Global Star Radio Network, the fine folks there at Global Star Radio Network. So we're on multiple platforms, and of course, YouTube, for as long as that'll last. And Global Star Radio Network and BTR. But we've got three programs, 9 to 10, Doug Hagman Radio Show, 2 to 3, John and Joe, the Hagman Daily Show, and then, of course, our flagship show from 7 to 10 Eastern. Just want to say before I kick it over to you, and George W. Bush, you know, 43, came out today and made some thinly veiled criticisms of Donald Trump.
I think he's getting ahead of the CIA document release.
They're all globalists, and you can tell now. I think it's pretty safe to say you can tell that Donald Trump has gotten under the skin because he's not a member of that elite globalist society, and I think more and more as the days progress of the Donald Trump administration post Obama, I think more and more you can see where this was an unplanned coup or an unplanned victory by Donald Trump, and now this coup is underway to have Donald Trump removed. And before, one more thing too, and I just couldn't believe this. Tucker Carlson had a Harvard law professor on, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and I don't know whether you saw this show, but this law professor said that he had received tens of requests to answer the question whether Hillary Clinton could claim the presidency. Think about that for a second.
What do you mean claim the presidency?
The premise,
which has come out in the open, it's his mind.
The premise of the question was, if it is proven that the election was stolen by the Russians, and you know, all these hypotheticals, and that Donald Trump played a role in that, is it possible that that Hillary Clinton could assume the presidency? Again, this is not you have to understand, sure, this is not some sure. guy off the street or somebody, you know, in their basement on YouTube. This is a Harvard law professor, Lawrence somebody, I believe his name is. Anyway, but he responded that, well, yeah, see, it would really necessitate Donald Trump resigning and then the vice president resigning. That would put Paul Ryan in office as the president, and then presumably he would do the honorable thing and nominate Hillary Clinton as the vice president and then himself resign, thus elevating Hillary Clinton to the presidency.
We should all just resign.
Do you see how convoluted that thinking is? And you talk about, and I like to talk about this long march of communism through our institutions, including and especially academia. There it is. I mean, you talk about a depiction of a banana republic, and this by a Harvard law professor, but I would expect nothing less from that. But so those two things, W coming out, George W. Bush coming out and just kind of throwing some, underhanded swipes at pro-globalist statements and swipes at Donald Trump, and then, of course, this Harvard law professor. And you might say, well, who cares? You know, if you don't care, fine. But I think this is symptomatic.
Well, you know, it is
what's taking place.
I mean, they have alternative realities out on cyberspace where they have websites dedicated to the idea that Hillary Clinton won the presidency.
Oh, yeah.
And they show news and information through the angle that she is president. This is the delusion of Hillary Clinton. Some also call it the Trump derangement syndrome. But this is a real thing. And just look at the news the last few days. You have this crazy congresswoman, where is she, out of Florida? Wilson, who apparently was with this Gold Star family. Now, this is basically what it boils down to. It's come out today, just a few hours ago. This is all about her and all about the attention and fame and notoriety she's gaining from the situation. She put out a tweet, this from the Washington Examiner, Representative Frederica Wilson laughs that controversy over Gold Star Widow has made her a rock star. She goes on to say, you mean to tell me I've become so important that the White House is following me in my words? This is amazing. This is amazing. I'll have to tell my kids that I'm a rock star now. And her campaign staff is in damage control, putting out statements that she will make no further comment because she's not supposed to be the focus of this. It's supposed to be the family of the families and the troops. And a Brian Fallon made a Twitter today after the Kelly statement saying Kelly is not just an enabler of Trump. He's a believer in him that makes him as odious as the rest. Don't be distracted by the uniform. You also have a number of reports from Newsbusters and other sites about people who are mocking the Gold Star father who came out in defense of Donald Trump. This whole issue of this phone call over the Special Forces guy, there was more than one who died in an ambush in Niger in Africa. Yep. A few weeks back.
Yep.
This is all fabricated to take attention away from, probably the Hollywood scandal, the multiple Obama administration and Hillary Clinton scandals from the Obama DOJ using the Trump dossier to apply for FISA warrant requests to Hillary Clinton and Uranium One, and the media obviously not being able to talk about the Hillary Clinton scandal, not being able to cover Las Vegas, not really wanting to cover their friends over in Hollywood, are resorting to this political football of these Gold Star families and a phone call that Trump made. And even if you take what they say at face value, what Trump said isn't even controversial, in my opinion.
Well, and the media deceptively cut off that what he said. There was more to that statement, obviously.
Right.
And he's not denying that he said, he knew.
He was saying it almost like he was mocking the family or something. And that's just so ridiculous. And anybody who has any common sense should be able to see right through that. But they've turned this into a 48-hour media circus over, comments that were taken out of context on purpose.
But I think what we need to do is really kind of pull back again and look at the bigger picture. What's happening here? You've got, ever since day one, you have this attempt to delegitimize Donald Trump as President of the United States. And let me ask you, the audience, when have you, in the course of American history, when have you ever seen a president so embattled so quickly from the outset than Donald Trump, even to the extent where you have a former, the previous man who occupied the Oval Office, I won't dignify him, in my view, with the title of president, laying back and creating these organizations to file ethics, one organization to file nothing but ethics charges against Donald Trump and attorneys to file different lawsuits to keep him, busy. And of course, the organizing for action, his specific group and the umbrella groups under that. So you've got that going on. You've got Hillary Clinton being pretty aggressive. You've got all of the globalists that are going after him. Plus, you've got the people inside the government who are fighting Donald Trump at every move.
Mm-hmm.
And what struck me too, I was listening to Tom Fitton, the head of Judicial Watch, come out and say, it's just as difficult, if not even more difficult today, to get information via a FOIA request under the Sessions Department of Justice than it was during previous administrations. Now, why is that? I would submit that is because you've got this well, remember what Valerie Jarrett said? There's a whole bunch of payback we're going to give. I think that the people embedded within places like the DOJ and other departments are making it, just throwing up every roadblock possible. And that's what Tom Fitton, for example, from Judicial Watch is saying, which, by the way, 2,800 emails off of Huma Abedin's or Anthony Weiner's computer, in addition to 637 emails that were recently obtained. But consider that 2,800 emails off of some classified, some before and some after the fact, and some haven't even been reviewed yet, but off of Anthony Weiner's computer, that it, were investigative work products of the Department of State. What the heck? And there's no accountability here? The emails found on Weiner's computer will lead to Hillary indictment if the FBI would only reopen the case. That, according to Judge Andrew Napolitano. So, and, of course, you've got the other side of things with respect to Uranium One. You've got the Judicial House or Senate Judiciary Committee calling on former FBI informant, formerly gagged by the Obama regime, to testify about Hillary's Russian connection, Russia collusion with the uranium scandal and the Russian bribes and the speaking fees and the, and you know, Charles Ortel, I don't know how many people out there listen to him. Spend 5-10 minutes, listen, longer than that. Listen to what he's got to say. Hopefully we can get him on our program. Charles Ortel has done a wonderful job in chronicling the fraud in my view, the fraud that is the Clinton Foundation and how that was used as a self-enrichment vehicle, but also used as kind of a centerpiece for selling off our national treasure and national secrets. So you've got treason, you've got, in my view, treason, espionage, all built into this. Oh, and one more thing. I just noticed something too yesterday, and I forgot to mention this. The former head of the FCC, saying that anyone posting fake news, help me out with this because okay, I think it's important.
I heard this from a Drudge interview on Alex Jones, and I saw a headline of it today, and it was from anybody from Drudge on the New York Times that were caught.
Yes, yes.
Even if fake news could be liable in court.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to try to find this because when I read this, I thought, well, first of all, this was the opinion of a former. I think she was with Federal Communications Commission. I think she was and she was just a bitter woman. She was let go. Anne Revelle?
Okay, this is from FoxNews.com. Okay. Drudge, Facebook, New York Times readers could face libel suits for sharing fake
news. Yeah, that woman right there.
Under Democratic plan. Political content on the internet, paid or not, should face substantial federal regulation to eliminate undefined disinformation and users of platforms and news feeds from Facebook to Twitter to Drudge Report, and even the New York Times could be punished for sharing fake news from those sites. The former Democratic chair of the FEC is urging.
Is it the FEC? Okay, was the FEC?
Anne Revelle, right, believes there is support for expanded regulation in the wake of reports of foreign governments spent $100,000 on the 2016 political ads on Facebook. Now, it would be interesting if she was coming at this from a position of really wanting to stop fake news, but what she is saying is that actual truth, anything that is not does not line up with their narrative and the facts they put out, you can get in trouble for. I don't buy for one minute when they say fake news, they're actually referring to disinformation or propaganda.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. I caught this through, okay, Drudge, Facebook, New York Times readers. Now think about this. Drudge, Facebook, New York Times readers, mm-hmm, could face a liable suit for sharing, quote, fake news, end quote,
So if you read a story on the New York Times and you share it on Facebook,
right,
you're liable.
Yes, yes. Now, this was explained. You had the Fox News link. This was, to me, better explained in the Washington Examiner when I read it. But this, see, this, I believe, is testing the waters.
Mm-hmm.
This comes from the former head of the Federal Election Commission. This woman has absolutely no authority, no clout, no nothing. All right. Now there are now listen carefully to what I'm saying, because I know of what I'm talking about. And the reason I say that, because out of my own pocket, I've paid close to $40,000 to defend in my view, a meritless BS of a lawsuit filed against me and, of course, co-defendant Steve Quayle. But you know, within the whole slew of documents, the words fake news happened to be in there, and Pizzagate happened to be in there. So, you know, here's what I'm saying to you. This is not, look, if you don't take this, do not underestimate what is going on here, because there are people, and there are, in my personal opinion, there are people that are attempting to shut down you as the purveyor of truth, whether you have a platform or not, even if you have a social networking presence. If they don't like what you are sharing, and especially if it has political connotations to it, you can be held liable. That's their scare tactic. And that, to me, is one of the most absurd, unconstitutional, horrific, to me, that's where I would have to draw the line and say, okay, now it's time you go from the ballot box to the ammunition box. Because to me, that, once that line is crossed, I have to say, where's our country? How do you recover from something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry I'm so impassioned by this, but I'm watching our freedoms being eroded away, and I'm not advocating spreading fake news, not even close. What I'm saying is, when you have,
well, it's not fake news as we talked about that they're going after.
Right. It's really political dissent. And you know, who decides what is fake news? Especially when you're talking about, for example, you're talking about Las Vegas. In conversation, having a conversation about Las Vegas, the shooting there, what happened? Who decides what's fake and what's real? I mean, who is the final arbiter of what is fake news?
Well, the fact should be, obviously.
Absolutely. Truth. And you know, I had talked to an attorney, and he looked at me and said, you know, truth is a defense. And absolutely correct. Truth is the best defense, actually. But even having said that, it's not just the fact that there, this could become law one day. The fact that even today there is this full court press to shut down alternative or honest media sites.
Mm-hmm. We see it with the YouTube and social media censorship, the not the copyright infringement, the demonetization, the violation of community guidelines or terms of service. We even have, PayPal blocking
people. Yeah.
It's not just to the social media sites. And it is turning into an epidemic, and the more people that have their eyes open to the truth and are trying to share the truth and share alternative theories outside of what is being shoved down our throats, they are labeled, you know, as crazy, as conspiracy theorists, regardless of the facts. I mean, these people have been doing this and have a monopoly on this, and have had a monopoly on the narrative for so long, that they're able to spin absolute lies and make them believable as truth, and able to take truth and tear it up till it's unrecognizable anymore.
That's right.
And go people who are pointing out their lies in the process.
And you know what, Joe? The closer we get, and I'll say this, and I'll be done with it, but the closer we get to certain the truth about certain topics, the more flack we get. And I have a tendency to enjoy that because I know that we're getting hot. We're over the target. We're taking on incoming. I mean, what do you expect? We're in a war. That's what Coach Dave says. What do you expect? You're in a war. But that said, okay, when you look at everything, and I've said this in the past, there are people, and you can believe this, you can choose not to believe it. Sean Hannity had said this a number of times, and I'm going to tell you, we have some of the same people that transcribe every utterance on our program, 3-hour program, every utterance on my show and Joe's show. They record it, they transcribe it, and they're looking for that little bit where they can make our lives miserable. All right, so trust me when I tell you this, if you have a voice and you have a platform, and you might say, well, that's no big deal. What are they going to do as long as you're not slandering or libeling someone? Well, let me tell you, they can do a whole lot and cause a whole lot of trouble because it's in America, anyone can sue for anything. In America, anyone can complain about anything, okay? Especially in the snowflake environment, in this post-truth, stalking the truth-teller environment. So do not minimize the damage and the distraction that this could cause. Just trust me when I tell you, the enemies are formidable out there, and they're getting desperate. They're foaming at the mouth. And that's, in my personal view, they probably are foaming at the mouth in a literal sense. But then, I digress, and of course and that's in my opinion, okay? In my personal opinion. Is that clear? That's my personal opinion. So, I'm allowed to have opinions. But having said that,
Well, you know, an example of what we're seeing, look at this, from what I know of it, Newsweek, it used to have some objectivity, right? It used to be a decent...
Well, I'm not sure if it ever had objectivity.
Well, it turned into a Never Trump thing and...
Right.
Well, okay, listen to this article. Newsweek fails fact check on Clinton Foundation in Russia. Newsweek managed to disprove its own fact check on Thursday when it asked if the Clintons ever received money from Russia. The Hill reported Tuesday the FBI had evidence of Russian energy officials giving money to the Clinton Foundation while then Secretary of State Clinton was in position to reject the deal giving Russians control of Uranium One, an energy company with mines in the United States. Meanwhile, Newsweek made the claim on Twitter that the Clintons were not paid millions by Russia. Fact checked. No, the Clintons were not paid millions by Russia. Then in its own article, Newsweek explains that Bill Clinton received $500,000 from a Russian bank
for
promoting Uranium One stock. Plus, the chairman of Uranium One gave Clinton $2.35 million to the Clinton Foundation between 2009 and 2013. Overall, the Clinton Foundation received $145 million from people linked to the Russian uranium deal. So even in its own article of Newsweek saying, no, they didn't receive money, they go and admit that, yes, they did, but they tried to minimize the donation to the Clinton Foundation, writing it went to a charity organization, not the Clinton family. And also, in the Washington Post, this from Newsbusters, Washington Post performs Uranium One scandal spin control, and they say the journalist, Mr. Brochers, drew the short straw. He was the one that I was asked to repackage and spin the Uranium One scandal, which broke open a few days ago, and it describes how he does it. And it's just never ending.
The left is so desperate, Joe. They're actually they can't fight the facts. They went after John Solomon.
Is this why was Harvey Weinstein a convenient? Because we talk about this has been known for decades in Hollywood, the kind of person he was, the abuse that he dished out to people. He has had this, there have been people who have been warning about him for years publicly. And was he a convenient target to try to deflect attention away from this Hillary Clinton scandal.
Or look at it another way, from the other side. Harvey was a supplier of money to the Clinton Foundation, right?
Oh, yeah. He raised millions of dollars for Clinton and Obama.
Was he taken out in this fashion by maybe a white hat on the good guy's side? I don't know. There's different ways of looking at things here. And I think either way, I mean, it needs investigation. But regardless of the activity, regardless of how or who, the fact that this was allowed to exist and persist in Hollywood in the circles, and John Robertson has talked about it and documented it, and you two on your show, the fact that this was permitted to exist for so long, and encouraged by the stage mothers, allegedly some stage mothers and some of the higher paid actors, with impunity, it speaks volumes about the about a number of things, but in particular about the lack of morality in our culture, the attack on our nation's culture, the attack on our nation's morality. And I think the bigger picture, you look at the LGBTQIA, VWXYZ culture, I think that part of that agenda is to normalize such behavior despite what you might think. It's almost counterintuitive. Monica Lewinsky, by the way, I don't know whether you saw that. She came out, there was, we don't have time to get into that, but it's interesting how there are double standards that are kind of coming out and being seen. Harvey Weinstein, okay, really a predator, a sexual predator in my view, allegedly. Depending on, you know, if it's proven what he's done. And Hillary Clinton, of course, being married to Bill Clinton, and the allegations of Winnie Broderick and others throughout the history, really throughout his history. I just find it very interesting, Joe, that, you've got apologists for Hillary, and Hillary saying, oh, I didn't know. This is news to me.
Yeah.
You know, no, come on. As if you didn't know, for example, the allegations against your husband, Bill. You know that's not true. So
yeah, she threatened the victims.
So. Yeah, of course. And this goes back, in her case, that goes back to 1978, at the April 1978, at the very least in the beginning. A good trilogy of books to get is written by Victor Thorne, who's since deceased. I've got those books, and very interesting. It talks about the sex, the murder, and the and I don't agree with everything that he's written, but sex, murder, and drugs in the Clinton administration and throughout the Clinton years. So very interesting. But Joe, thanks for taking the first hour with Stephen Mayking. Great guy. In fact, my wife and I had lunch with him and his wife in Branson. I was on the day we were returning or going from Branson to St. Louis, but thanks for doing that. It was a great interview with him. And thank you, Tracy Beans. Thank you so very much. Stephen Mayking, thank you. And, folks, thank you for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this mire together.
Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be back 9 a.m. The Doug Hagman Show, 2
right.
p.m. The Hagman Daily Show. Then we'll be back here tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Have a great night, everyone.